Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 336 of Mike White's podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Yo.
How's things, mate?
I'm full of cold. I thought for a brief moment in time I'd made it to December without having a cold. I felt immortal. And then yesterday I realised just how many people were coughing and sneezing in the office, and it's really got me.
Ah, well. It could have been worse. You could have got it a week ago. It would have been way more depressing a week ago.
Yeah. If I'd have had that after the Aston Villa game, I think I'd have been really down.
Yeah, he'd have been hospitalised with a cold.
It's the cold that's getting him down. No, it's not. It's the back four. Yeah.
He'd have seasonal affective disorder, but it'd be football seasonal. So fucking 3-5 fucking 2.
Who knew?
Me. John McKenzie. All the All-Stars and we guys. All the everything guys, really. What a result. What a cracking performance.
Yeah, it was great. We came out of the gates absolutely flying. Which, to be fair, we got a good record for doing that from last season and into this season. We've started home games really well.
We've started a fair few games relatively strongly. It's why we're so high up in the points lost from winning positions league.
I told you, mate, that's top four of anything. I'll take it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. We took the game to them, and lo and behold, we get a set piece.
Yeah, I mean, it's although that goal
and Big Bastards FC, it's really kicking off.
Yeah, like it's not just for, obviously we get the goal early from the corner, but that's what, 6 minutes in, was it? Yeah, 6 minutes in, and we were on top for that whole build up to it. We really forced them back. It wasn't just that we got the ball up the field quickly, which we've been dying to do. We sort of kept them there as well. It wasn't a ridiculous over the top press, but we didn't let them out. We didn't make it easy for them, and we just kept getting in there, and then. Yeah, absolute bullet header from Yakabiel.
Yeah, just put him in the middle of a back three and he'll be grand.
Yeah.
It's like Connor Cody, specialist in a back three. Never work in a back two, though.
No.
But yeah, really good header. I'm trying to remember who it was. I'm pretty sure it was Liam Delap who was meant to be marking him.
Yeah, and when you see it back.
Just.
He doesn't just get left behind. It's 5-6 yards.
Yeah, so he gets a free run and jump on it. Sanchez gets a hand to it, but just isn't keeping it out.
Yeah, it's such a good idea. It's good ball in from Stack as well, who, considering one of the biggest upsides we've had out of Longstaff has been the corners have been good. Stack's corners. His in-swinging ones were consistently good, and his out-swinging ones started bad and got better.
Well, I mean, the other thing now is, obviously, at the start of the season, there was a lot of the thought of, why is this big lad taking the set piece? Mm. But now that even without him, you've got Calvert-Lewin, Metcher, Roden, Strout, Biol in the penalty area, you're like, it's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, not having a sixth big lad is pretty much okay.
Yeah.
It's when it was, we've only got two or three that you can really aim at, and we've got a 6'4" guy taking a corner. But no, it's great bowling, it's a brilliant header. And we just, like, there was, Chelsea did, like, settle down and they settled into the game. And then they did start to have all the ball and sort of controlling it through midfield. But not with any penetration at all, really. Like, in that first half, I think Estevao cut inside and had one deflected wide and Liam Delap had a effort.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Jack, let's talk about Estevao.
There's two ways of looking at it, and I am choosing to look at it as the Leeds version of this. Because I've watched Estevao. He's a brilliant player, and he's going to be unreal. However, what he came up against was about the best first half I've seen a left-back have for Leeds United. Maybe ever?
He came up against a Scandi brick wall, is what he did.
Goodmanson was unbelievable. He had a really good game, full stop. But that first half was incredible.
Yeah, and every Chelsea tried to go down that right-hand side more often than not. Because, again, if you tell everyone your weak side is the left-hand side, they might target that. Mm. And, yeah, if it wasn't him, it was Strouk.
Yeah, well, I wonder if that helped him with just his confidence going into the tackle. Knowing that if you do get beat, we should, in theory, have another body ready to cover. Because either the outside centre-back or one of the centre-mids should be able to drop into that space.
Yeah. But he just couldn't get a grip on it at all. It was great. To the point where he just decided to... I can't remember. It wasn't Goodman that he booted or...
Yeah.
And then just got a yellow card. And it was great. Because it was just so... It was an angry child. Just going, I don't like this.
Yeah, and that is about chat. That was one of them where you could argue for a red card because it was just kicking someone. Like, he wasn't trying to get the ball, he was just trying to boot someone. I don't think he put enough force into it for it to be a red card. If he did the exact same thing really hard...
You could argue violent conduct.
I would say violent conduct, but I think it is just petulant trip. So, yellow card. But he had properly lost his head. He's broke into first team football at 16 and basically been a world beater ever since. He won't have had many days where he's just like, I ain't getting any change out of this guy whatsoever.
He's playing a relegation threatened team and is struggling.
Yeah.
It was just great. We were solid all over the place. The structure worked. There was, like you say, Chelsea dominated possession. So it is something like we had something like 29% possession. I think that is what I saw.
Yeah, it was something like that.
And all I could think of was bollocks to you, Arsene Wenger. Possession means nothing.
It was the lowest possession win Leeds have had since what game? Because I did read this on Twitter and I remember what it was.
Is it Reading?
It's Yapstam's Reading. 2-0 when the Leeds fans were way every pass they made. The other stat, and this might not be exactly right because I just saw it straight after the game and I didn't note it down, but it was something like Goodmanson had 9 tackles and second most on the pitch was 2.
Yeah, he had a busy night and... by the time he got, got subbed, but I mean, both wing backs get subbed, and they both appear to be blowing out of their arses. To be fair,
all right. So, but yeah, great first half. We won the up. We've kept them at arm's length since the goal. We've had us chances to break. I mean, that Strouk header from the corner pretty soon after the goal was a really good chance. And if he doesn't get there, Roden's unmarked behind him. And if he heads it slightly worse, it goes to Calvert-Lewin. It was a bit unlucky the way it all went. But yeah, roll over them. And we did a thing that we did a few times because we didn't overcommit on the press. But when we went well. We it was sort of like we would get a third man to go up, usually to Naka, but not always, to go up and press almost as a free with Metcher and Calvert-Lewin at times. And it really got us in, and it led to the second goal. Metcher wins it back, goes into midfield. Again, great awareness from Bogle. Because he runs inside 25 yards. But because he goes straight away and he's aware, he gets there comfortably. Good little pass for Tanaka, who's had 3 chances in the first half. Chances is harsh. 3 attempts in the first half that were all absolutely god-awful. And he fires in an absolute rocket.
There's something I love. I don't know if you've seen it in the replay. It's that one, there's the angle behind the goal where you can just see it just keeps curling away from Sanchez.
Yeah, it's a brilliant finish.
But when Sanchez hits the floor, he's just repeatedly punching the ground. You're just like, yes.
You see, if he'd have done that after the third goal, I'd have understood it more.
Yeah.
But no, it's such a good strike from Tanaka. And it was one of them ones where you sort of, you know, I would always rather be at the game and talking about it and having people listen, but it does mean that there's only like you and my dad, you know, there's only us three having the conversation of us being, it's so weird that Tanaka's shooting's been so bad because he's got a really good shot on him. And then he does that.
Yeah. And I think the other thing for where we sit was, I don't think it's tough to tell how close to the post, that is, by the time it goes in from where we are. So when you watch it back, you just look and go, oh God, that's even better than I thought it was.
Yeah, let me just check something that just jumped into my head. I'm wrong. It was I had in my head that someone had said that that Tanaka would only get one goal this season, but specified it'd be a Thunder bastard. Hmm. However, it was Benny that said that about Anton Stach. Which currently is fair.
Yeah.
So going at half time 2-0. Everyone, like, I went down for a smoke with my dad at half time, and everyone was just, one, amazed at how good the performance was. Two, saying, oh God, thank fuck Fark actually didn't just go back to type and he's sticking with this. This is so much better. And that was, like, if this is the way we're going to play, there's a very good chance this keeps him in the job, at least for a while, if we're going to play like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said before we went into this run, if you come out of it a point behind, a point per game at the end of it, I think you've done really well at that point.
That was us basically saying, if you get the result against Villa.
Yeah. And essentially, we've got 6 points from the last game and a half, which I quite like. But yeah, it was doing the obvious thing,
and doing it well.
Yeah, and lo and behold, you put two strikers close to each other, and the long ball seems to work all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's easier to hold the ball up when you don't have to win it and flick it perfectly.
Yeah,
but yeah, second half we do concede fairly early on. I mean, we'd actually we'd started the half okay actually, but the Gittins skins Bogle. It's one of a couple of times where it happened to him. He still had a good game, but he did get done a couple of times. Cross goes in, and I mean, he was still my man at match with Goodmanson, but when you watch it back, Goodmanson just does completely switch off at the back post.
Yeah.
If he's on his toes and paying attention, he clears that ball. No worries.
With that reaction, it's he's no idea Pedro Neto's there.
Yeah.
And Pedro Neto, who would come on for them at halftime. I think there was the moment in all of us just going, well, here it comes.
Here we go again.
But, I mean, what was it? Because they'd made the double change. Neto came on for Estevao.
It was Neto for Estevao, and was it... it was Gusto for Badiashile, and Chalobah went into centre-back.
Yeah. And I'm very pleased that they left Tosin on.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, I've been banging on about how good that kid is since he was about 17 years old, so...
Yeah. That is dreadful, turns out.
Yeah.
But, you know, we again, fall into the pattern of Chelsea, loads of the ball, moving it around, but generally we're defending well. The amount of times there was kind of a ball in behind-ish that one of the centre-backs just makes a sideways run to sort of sweep up and bring back out again. It was really nice to see. They just seem to play so well as a unit for players that have not spent a lot of time in that system.
Yeah, well, not at Leeds especially. But I was saying the same thing earlier. They did seem to have a real understanding of how the back three worked, which I suppose that is another thing where you have to say it doesn't look like a thrown together 3-5-2, even though it's taken longer than we wanted it to be for it to happen. It does look at very least that they are being coached it relatively well at the minute. So hopefully that keeps going.
Yeah. And like you say, you've got someone like Biol who's come off a period of playing in that sort of a system. And I think with certainly Pascal Strauch I think we described it in FM terms as the central defender, potentially no-nonsense centre-back. flanked by two ball playing centre backs. And
yeah, I mean, we've said, I mean, it isn't just everyone said for years, God, Strauch suits wide centre back in the back three.
Yeah,
because you know, it's one, he's left footed, so he suits that side for passing, but he's also like really good on the ball. That's
I mean, there's a reason why Bielsa tried him as the holding mid. Like, he definitely saw that sort of quality in him.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think as it goes, it wasn't quite there. But yeah, for someone bringing the ball out the back and has the range of passing, at least. Yeah.
And yeah, I was just saying, they did dominate the ball again. But much like the first half, there wasn't loads of chances. Though we are still Leeds United, so Garnacho, with as much as I hate him, he did like a really nice step over and just beat Bogle completely. And we did have one moment pull back to the completely unmarked Kovama having a late line running the box, and he puts it wide. That was their one really big chance that he would say he should have done better with. I will say, having seen it back, I can't remember which centre half it is. Given where it was probably Roden, but it could have been Beal. Because Roden might have already had to step out with Bogle getting beat. So it may well have been Beal. But basically, it goes just wide. But the defender that goes to block, which comes to think it will have probably been Beal, his angle was perfect. He was like almost in a dead line with the near post.
Yeah.
So even if the finish had been really good, I reckon he'd have blocked it.
Hmm.
But other than that, they didn't massively trouble us. And then they really troubled themselves.
Yeah.
Leeds' changes were 67th minute, Gruer for Tanaka, Okafor for Mecha, which were both fair enough. I mean, Tanaka was having a really good game, but he was probably a little bit tired. And it did make us have a more defensive midfield than we already did. It was a bit what we have, we hold. But they didn't stop getting forward when the chance got there, and they didn't just let Chelsea out super easily and just drop off to a low block. And all it takes, if you are pressing, is one mistake. Gusto back to tossing Adebayo, who takes an awful touch. Okafor gets there, beats Sanchez to it. And the very rare, it won't have been, but as far as I'm concerned, the very rare 1xG goal.
Yeah,
Dominic Calvert-Lewin. It's a still ball, middle of goal, 1.5 yards out.
The thing I take away from that more than anything is, I'm really surprised you didn't absolutely hammer it. Like, he just gently taps it in from a yard.
Yeah.
To the point where I watch it back going, it's barely reached the net, is that?
I wonder if there was a second where he thought it was going in anyway. So I wonder if he thought about leaving it and then went, no, he's not going to get there.
Yeah.
Or maybe he had the same Leeds fear that I had of, what if I was a toenail ahead of Okafor when he made that slide tackle?
Yeah, I was quite nervy about that, because it just seemed, the fact that it all happened was just going, well, surely this is going to get disallowed. We can't have a third here.
Yeah, I was only ever worried about the offside. I was never worried about him giving a foul on the keeper. Because Sanchez moans about everything and he didn't even appeal.
No, it's him and tossing, exchanging glances while Mark Cucurella waves arms everywhere.
He loves a complaint. So
he does bloody love a complaint. But yeah, it was great. And then there was the VAR check and I lost my nerve, so I went to the toilet, and on the way, watching the screen, and yeah, it got announced just before I went into the toilet, so I was hugging two random gentlemen.
Yeah, well, nice.
Which I normally do in the toilet, so it was a nice change of location.
Yeah. Late subs, but there isn't really loads to talk about. Peru for Calvert-Lewin, he won one header. That was about all he had to do.
Brilliant. What a striker.
James Justin on for Jaden Bogle, and very late on, Bornau on for Goodmanson.
Yeah.
Although James Justin only played for about 8 minutes, including stoppage time, he did get to play two positions.
Yeah, he briefly got slid across fairly soon after being brought on, and all I kept thinking is, he's a wide man, is Bornau, for his size. Like, I knew he was tall, but Yeah.
And based on that one break late on where he did actually like break forward like a wing back and get up to the box quicker than I realised.
I mean, yeah, I know we were 3-1 up at this point and we were in stoppage time, but in my head I was going, no, why are you going? No, he went.
Yeah.
He fully went.
Yeah, so. But I mean, it's nice to see him fit, and it does, if we are going to play a back three, having another centre-back fit does help. Because you're going to, you know, he's at some point, one of them's going to be injured. We're going to need another centre-back. And James Justin can't play wide centre-back in a three. He's done it quite a lot. So him being fit does help us in terms of options, for sure. I've already said Goodmanson were my man at match by plenty. Were you the same, or did you have anyone else in mind?
Yeah, I'm probably on board with that, just in terms of I thought everyone did really well. I thought Calvert-Lewin looked so invigorated having someone to work off him.
Yeah.
I did think he had an excellent game up front as well. But yeah, it's tough to look past Goodmanson. I just thought I'm going to say he did 98% of everything perfectly.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great. But I would agree, like, of the players who started, no one below probably 7.5.
Yeah.
I suppose Perry's a weird one because he didn't really have to do out.
No.
Like, the goal's not his fault, but he also didn't have to make saves.
For the most part, his kicking was good.
Yeah. But
Yeah. there was the throw to Calvert-Lewin that felt like he probably could have kept him, but
yeah,
he let it go out. But yeah, it just the system worked. And how? And you know what? We don't need any more players now. Just keep playing these ones.
I mean,
never get injured, lads.
Yeah, well, we're really good. Does this mean? You know, there was a couple of managers that just always seemed to get results against Bielsa. Is that what Daniel Farke is to Enzo Maresca?
I mean, based on the results, yes. I mean, I listened to the game. I was a bit annoyed because they'd finished on Radio Leeds by the time we got back to the car.
Yeah, with it being a late kickoff, did they still finish the show at the same time?
Yeah. So, so I did have to put TalkSpot on. And the amount of, like, the first caller I listened to was complaining that they dropped Reece James and they shouldn't be doing that. And to which the first response that was, he's very injury prone and he did just have a hell of a game at centre mid against Arsenal.
I mean, we said it on the preview. Maresca said in the post-match interview for the Arsenal game, Reece James isn't starting the lead.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we did get to hear... That means you'll have heard Jason Cundy's Hall of Fame hissy fit then, won't you?
I think I may have missed that. I think there was a point where I might have just put music on instead of me having a sing.
I mean, fair enough. But it was... You know, like, I'd love to say it was really funny. It wasn't, because he didn't have the comedic timing. He was just moaning. But it was a weird situation to be in. But yeah, I thought all the Leeds players were excellent. I was really pleased for Ampadu because I think he'd had a couple of really poor games.
Yeah.
And we did mention, I wonder if being up against Chelsea might be good for him. Like that bit of extra kick up the arse to really wind him up.
Yeah, aside from the moment where Tanaka's going forward and Ampadu just stands perfectly still.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of that very brief moment of, fucking move!
Yeah, he had to move like 3 yards forward and it'd have been fine.
Yeah. Outside of that, yeah. It did very much seem one of those performances of I'll show you.
Problem is, when you say I'll show you, I don't get I'll show him. You'll say I get I'll show you inanimate.
Well, I mean, for that brief moment,
yeah,
he was. But yeah, I think after the game, when the only thing you sort of regret now is clearly we didn't need a number 10. We've realised this now. We didn't need a number 10. We've got Tanaka. That's
two
all
nines.
Fine.
That's what we needed.
Well, we need some more. Yeah, need some more strikers, and we could do a topping up the centre mids now.
I mean, yeah, it's for the same reason as the centre backs. If you've got three, you need more.
Yeah, you need having six.
Yeah, but it was excellent. The only worry is, and we sort of, it's some of that I think a few people are wondering, is this Marsh v Liverpool all over again?
Hmm. I don't think so.
I agree.
I think the issue with the Marsh football was that even in the games where we got results, it was chaos. That, you know, and it was followed up by that Bournemouth game where we went 1-0 up and 3-1 down.
Yeah, and we should have been about 6-1 down.
Yeah.
Sam Greenwood came off the bench and changed everything.
Yeah. Sam. I assume he's still in Poland.
I assume so. I mean, he's the record transfer in for the league, I think.
where is the one good thing I know about Farker is, outside of we are losing, there is 10 minutes left and I will throw just everyone forward. I know full well, for the most part, everything is pretty well reasoned. I disagree with his reasoning at times, but I know there is a lot more thought and consideration goes into that than Marsh's football.
Yeah.
I do think we played it right, in as much as we pressed them for the first 15 to 20 minutes, caused them problems, and then I think we managed the game pretty well for the most part. Like you say, we were so well organised sort of once they had possession. It just worked.
Yeah. I can remember one time where it broke down. They played one pass through the middle and they just had a player in acres of space in the middle. I think it was probably straight into the lap, but he just had so much room. There was one in the first half and there was one in the second half. Two across a game. That's brilliant. Because before, that pass has been on all the time. Yeah, I'm with you that I don't think it is. And the reason I don't think it is because we actually deserve to win this game. As fun as the Liverpool game was and as hard as they worked, because they were still playing for Marsh, they were still putting in the effort. But like, it was a mishit back pass for the first goal and then we nicked one later on. And for the 82 minutes either side of that, it was all them.
Yeah.
We had a couple of breaks where we had chances, but they were all... This, I just thought we were better. I don't know exactly what the XG was, but it was around about 3-1.
Yeah, but I believe... I think the one I saw what had it at about 2.86, something like that. So
again, admittedly, Calvert-Lewin's goal is roughly one.
Yeah, 1.5, I believe.
A bit like Mech's, because it combines the missed penalty and the follow-up. So Mech's at Man City will have been roughly won by the end.
Yeah. But, you know, it shows that we can create chances.
Yeah.
And that the system, we changed the system from a run where we weren't, and yes, I know we get a goal from a set piece in this, but we created more in open play, even at the times where we weren't creating chances for periods of time, there were still chances that came along.
Yeah, we weren't ripping them to shreds by any, all like that, but there were chances.
Yeah, and like I said, I think by the end, like you say, you kind of go through some of the chances that we had. We could have had another one.
Hmm. Yeah, it was just a brilliant result. I'm assuming it was Johnny Cooper that put this out because it's the sort of thing he does. I also read something that was like, it was something like 22.5% of our passes were long, which was like 5% higher than any other game that we've had.
Well, I mean,
which is much more, which is just playing to the strengths of what we've got on the pitch.
Well, it's gone from the obviously the running gag for us has always been in seconds, how long does it take to go from kickoff to it going back to Perry and him passing it to a centre back?
Yeah.
Whereas from the kickoff, there were five players on the right hand side.
Yeah. Back to Perry.
Straight back to Perry, knock it long. And even playing against three very big defenders and Mark Cucurella, Dominic Calvert-Lewin just seems to be able to jump. It's like if he wanted to, I think he could jump and land on Brendan Aaronson's shoulders.
Yeah.
Like he's I don't know how you teach it. I don't know what it is, but he's got that hang time of just staying in the air for seemingly like 10 seconds. And he just wins so many balls. And as I look at it, yeah, like yeah, he might only get 10 goals, but if he keeps bringing people into play like he does, grand.
Yeah, you just when he's up by himself, he'll win stuff, but you can't take advantage of it, and he doesn't, and he's not a good enough finisher, really.
Mm.
In a two, it makes a lot more sense. Farker did mention in the press conference, Metje has hamstring problems. We have to assess him. Calvert-Lewin has calf problems, ? So I'm going to take that as probably one of them starts, and with Okafor.
Yeah. And not then, John Peru.
And maybe the other one comes on for, yeah, and we'll see where we are. But like, obviously, a couple of players might change with injuries. But same again against Liverpool.
Yeah, that I would very much like to keep that the same if possible.
And they, the bits, and I've seen more of Liverpool than I've seen of Chelsea, they look more vulnerable to getting the ball forward quickly than Chelsea do, generally.
Yeah, for a team with some of those midfield players that they've got, they're just, it's not working for them. You know, whether, I think they made quite a big thing last weekend of Salah dropping to the bench. Szoboszlai, who I think has probably been their best player so far this season, keeps getting shifted around.
Yeah, I do watch him all the time and just think he looks brilliant.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think. And then Isak only got his first goal for them at the weekend as well. You know, it's which still seemed like signing Ekitike and then getting Isak in as well just seemed so odd to spend that much money when you have one striker in your team.
Yeah. They just don't look themselves, do they? Obviously, because I know they started well in terms of results, but they didn't look great in a lot of those games.
It went from the narrative of it's what champions are made of, that even in games where you're not performing, you win them, and that's what they did for a few games at the start, winning games late on or winning scrappy games. After a while, it just becomes you're not playing well.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's the number of games you can play. If you play a couple of games badly and win, that's the sign of champions. If you play five badly and win, you're probably going to get found out. It was 1-1 with Sunderland. I have only obviously seen the highlights of it, but it looked like that was about a fair result. And without Chiesa running back 70 yards to make a goal line clearance at the end, Sunderland win it.
Yeah.
They got battered by Man City, which Man City are really good, so fair enough. But they got battered by Forest, who aren't.
Yeah.
They've got good players and they're a well-organised team, but we shouldn't be getting battered. They got battered at home by PSV. And yeah, they're a good side for the Dutch League, but it's the Dutch League. I was going to say they got beat 3-0 at home by Palace, but that was the League Cup, and I don't know what sort of team they put out. But got beat at Brentford. Got beat at home by Scum, who, like, you know, if you watched any of Scum and West Ham last night, they're not good. Even though they're, like, sixth or whatever they are. I'm probably still in. I think I'm going to end up going for Liverpool to win this game in the predictions. But if there's a time to play them.
Yeah, I as you watch them and you look at the talent they have amassed on the pitch, it is hard to believe at times that this is sort of how they are playing. You know, whether it's that you've kind of reached, you know, you are now getting to the point where someone has to have that awkward moment going, like, Van Dijk and Salah, though, we're going to have to move on at some stage here.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have just blown a load more cash on getting Guehi in. But I don't know, it just, whatever it was they were going for this year, it just has not worked.
Yeah, they just, it's not so much, I don't think that it's like, oh, Slot's tactics are terrible or like that. I just think they're not on it this year. All across the board. And whether Diogo Jota dying has something to do with it or not, I don't know. I think there's a chance it probably does. But they just don't seem themselves. But I do think part of it is Konate has been crap this season and he's running down his contract. He's done at the end of the season. Van Dijk's still a brilliant player, but he is getting on. Robertson is, like 30. This is his last season, basically. And then he's off. I don't know if he'll go to Celtic or something to finish off. And they brought in Kirkes to replace him, and that has not worked.
Yeah.
You know, right back, Frimpong is a brilliant attacking outlet. But one, he's not that great defensively, and two, he's been injured half the season. I think he's injured now, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, like, there's Conor Bradley, who I really like, but he's been injured as well. He's listed as doubtful for games, so... They're probably going to have, what, Joe Gomez at right back?
Yeah, that's who started midweek.
Yeah, so it might well be him again. And again, good player, but been ravaged by injuries for years, not what he used to be. Is Alisson meant to be back yet?
He has played, yeah. I think he's played the last couple.
All right, so yeah, probably Alisson in goal, Gomez, Konate, Van Dijk, Robertson. Although, it depends. Did Robertson start against Sunderland?
He did, yes.
Might be Kirkes then. Because he probably can't do two in 4 days now. Probably McAllister and Graven Birchim. It depends. It could actually be Szoboszlai right back, couldn't it? Szoboszlai right back and then McAllister and Graven Birchim in midfield.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, looking at it's the only thing I look at that, those midfielders, like the five they started with, Gravenberch, McAllister, Szoboszlai, Wirtz, and Gakpo. And to me, it very much screams, it's a bit Gary McAllister to me. It's getting a lot of centre mids in, a lot of quite similar players in to a system that I don't think it will entirely work.
Yeah, like Szoboszlai playing as the right winger. Szoboszlai playing as the right winger when the right back is Joe Gomez and not Frimpong is a bit of an odd one. I doubt that'll happen in this game. I'm assuming he'll bring Salah back in for this one.
Yeah. I don't think you will always struggle to replace kind of some of the front threes they've had in the last few years.
Yeah.
I did think it was... I found it a bit odd with Diaz going.
Sounds like part of that was he fancied a new challenge.
Yeah. I mean, I was always a fan of his. I'm a big fan of Darwin Nunez because I love Patrick Bamford and he's taller and plays for Marcelo Bielsa now.
He's
so,
foreign flair, Patrick Bamford.
Yeah. Like, as... But you've now got two very different centre forwards there than kind of what you've had the last few years. And whether, again, that's kind of a bit of a step away from that where Slot's tried to make it his own and it's just not quite worked.
Do you think that's one of the reasons that Salah's struggling a bit more? Because they've had a number nine that was more willing to drop back 10 yards and not be the main man and let Salah get all the way for... Because like, obviously their main version that you think of is Firmino dropping off so that Mane and Salah are actually the centre-forwards, really.
Yeah.
That's like the extreme version of it. And now, like Ekitike and Isaac, Ekitike is willing to do the work for it, obviously. But his instinct is still to get right up there. And I wonder if that's why he just doesn't quite... I mean, it's also that it could be that he's getting on a bit, but given he was so good last season, I don't think it can be physical.
No. And as long as they don't get themselves back in form this week, grand.
Yeah, although we do have to play him again in about 3 weeks, don't we? Don't play him on New Year's Day.
Yeah, this is one of the weird ones, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to take... I think that they'll bring Salah back in. Probably Wirtz and Gakpo. And did Isak start against Sunderland? Yeah, so probably Ekitike.
Such like, riches.
They're not playing great, but they are... Like, that squad is still ridiculously good.
You have enough people who, if six individuals have very good games that against a team of our quality, they could do well out of those. Yeah.
But very, one of the things from at the minute is they are a bit don't like it up them. And we were very much good with putting it up them on Wednesday. So hopefully we can do that again. Because I do think that if we can start like we did against Chelsea, really snap in for that first 10 minutes, I think that would be the thing that gives us a chance. And boy, can you tell that the confidence has come through based on these predictions. Although, shout out to little Danny, who went for a 1-0 win against Chelsea and got 2 points, because he was the only points. I had in my head, Casey, that you'd gone for a win, but you had 1-1 draw.
I had 1-1. Did you go 2-1?
No, I had a 2-1 loss. The other draw was Connie had one as well.
Oh, okay.
But for this one, little Danny's got 2-2, Benny's got a 2-1 win, Alex has got 1-1, and Connie's got a 1-0 win.
We're back.
Yeah, the confidence is back. Everyone is so confident. So I've got Leeds to lose this 2-0.
I'm going to stick with it and say 1-1 again.
It's so weird that I do think that Liverpool just have an amount of individual quality that I keep thinking, you know, they're not going to go and win the league or anything, but they're going to become... I mean, they beat Real Madrid like 6 weeks ago. And deservedly so. They're a good team. So it must click back in soon. And I do worry that this might be it. But I'm not ruling out all. Like, the last I checked, I think Liverpool were like... You could get very close to even money on them. Which was the same with Chelsea, which sounded mad until you watched the game. So I wonder if this... I'm hoping this will be a similar story. But yeah, the... Other than if there is any injuries, can you see anything else changing team-wise?
No. Midfield-wise, we don't really have the options to make the changes. Like, I wouldn't really want... I don't mind him coming off the bench, but I wouldn't want him starting.
To be fair to it, he's done well the last couple of games.
Yeah, I just think that you've got three very good players there. Centre backs, you don't really have much scope for changing. The full backs, I can't see him changing. I don't like Justin. Justin could come in, but I think with Gummison not starting the City game, I would say he's probably fine to play in this one as well.
Yeah, I think the same. I reckon Gummison and Bogle will both probably be knackered by about 70 minutes, so we'll have to see what happens there.
Yeah. And like you said, I think it could be a case of Okafor coming in for one of Calvert-Lewin or Isak.
Or Isak? When did we sign him?
Not Isak.
I love that. You think Mecha has turned into Alexander Isak. That's how good he's been.
Well, he's been fantastic. I mean,
who scored more goals this season?
Yeah, exactly.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Careful. Yeah, the one thing, this will be the last thing because it's just jumped into my head and I don't know what I'd do. If they are both injured, Because, like, if they're both Metro and Calvert-Lewin are really struggling, then missing this game in order to be fit for Brentford, that probably is the more sensible way around to do it if you've got to do it. Like, what do you do if they're both injured?
I mean, you said towards the start of this, Joel Pirou won a header. He won a header.
I'm not sure anyone challenged him for it.
Look, I'm just presenting you the facts. Whatever you want to do with that information, that's up to you. I'm telling you, as Bielsa is my witness, I saw that man win a header, right? And also, I think he's faster than Calvert-Lewin and Metcher. Which, admittedly, now that we're hearing that, and it does not shock me at all to hear that Metcher may have been carrying, was it calf problem or?
Yeah, he did seem to be struggling, and I mean, he went down in the first half, didn't he?
Yeah, to be honest, the speed at which I've seen that man run this season off the ball, it wouldn't shock me if he's had an injury most of this year. But Joel Pirou and No Rockefeller.
That's what I think it would be.
What a strike force.
That, if they're both injured, I think that's what it'd have to be, because you can't really change where you play it.
Okafor and Aronson.
I was just going to say, don't be surprised if that's what he did. In this really unlikely situation where they're both injured, don't be surprised if that's what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, the really big brain play, if you really... really narrow in and think about it, what you do is you play ball now, and it's Strauch and Okafor. Strauch and Okafor is the way that you really do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So hopefully at least one of them's fit. So yeah, that will do us for episode 336. If we can get another point, all of a sudden this becomes a really good week.
Yeah, great week.
Which would be great. If only Scum could have done the job and beat West Ham, but...
Oh God, they weren't dreadful,
They were awful as well.
We tried to have a serious committee meeting last night, and that game was on behind everyone else. I was just watching and going, God, this is a bad game.
I hate you. Can you win, though? It'd be useful. Right, cool. Yeah, that'll do us. I've been Jack, see ya.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.